Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Faith to Go podcast, your one-stop shop for everything you need to have faith discussions throughout your week with your friends and with your family. My name is David Tremaine, and I'm the digital resource curator at Faith to Go.
And I'm Charlotte Pressler, and I'm the director of formation for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
And I'm back.
Woohoo!
I was gone for 1 week.
I know. It was lonely.
Was it?
It was. Well, I was really grateful to have Maya because, you know,
she
has been part of the team for so long that it was really joyful to have her here.
Yeah.
And yet your absence, both of your absences.
Oh, yeah. Greg wasn't here either.
Was noted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
I did.
You did it. We all give a round of applause to Charlotte. You did it, Charlotte.
So people get to take a vacation. It's important.
Yeah. When do you take a vacation? When's the last time you were none? Silence. Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for not taking a vacation from listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. We're going to be talking about the gospel for this upcoming week, Proper 16 in Year A, moving right along, halfway through the propers. What's the last one? Usually 29, 28,
something like that.
So we're into the second half of the propers for ordinary time in Year A. This Sunday will be August 27th, 2023. Everybody's starting school.
It's wild.
This week. So I hope you're having a good first week of school if you are starting school. Gearing up, end of the summer. Can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, and not on the air with us, but in the room with us, we do have a guest at the moment.
My 5-year-old son, Georgie.
And what is this week for George?
First week of kindergarten,
so exciting. Down
the street from our house. So exciting. He's got his new backpack. He's got his new pencils. He's got his new notebook. For his homework, that he's very excited to do. He's not listening right now because he's watching Spidey and His Amazing Friends. Trademark. Don't sue us, Marvel.
And it's okay to reference things. You just cannot, you know, appropriate them.
Yes, we will not appropriate them in podcast form. So, so excited to have Georgie in the room.
Yes.
Greg's back. I'm back. Charles back. The whole team's here. And honestly, actually, the last time George was in the room for a podcast, I was holding him in my arms, giving him a bottle, and that was 4.5 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
So you can try to go back and find that one. I think he makes a sound.
Oh.
So special prize to the listener that finds the old George episodes. You can go to George Pan Venn Diagrams, too, because those were about Georgie. All right. Well, we're just rambling at this point. I'm like on the verge of talking about Fluffernutters again for like 10 minutes, so...
We should get to the podcast about Fluffernutters.
I know. We have exciting new God sightings because we were up at Camp Stevens, as you remember, a couple weeks ago, and we got to talk to a couple of the chaplains that were up there for one of the summer camp sessions. And one of those chaplains was the Reverend Christina Miller, who is a deacon, but this coming weekend in our timeline and this past weekend in your timeline will be / was ordained as a priest in
the
Diocese
of San
Diego.
This is like the multiverse of Faith to Go.
It is the multiverse. Into the multiverse. Faith to Go into the multiverse. I'm Spider Pig. we're excited to hear from, we got to hear from Christina, God sighting from Christina. So we're going to play that now. And Charlotte was talking to her. So take it away, Charlotte in the past.
I am here with my co-chaplain at Camp Stevens, the Reverend Christina Miller. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you, Chaplain Charlotte.
Thank you, Chaplain Christina.
Thank you.
I am wondering if you would share with our listeners a place that you have seen or felt God's presence in the last week.
Yes, thank you for asking. I felt God's presence most notably so far this morning with you and with Casey. And some of our younger campers when we did our spiritual sunrise. And we were sitting in the outdoor chapel, which is all in nature. And there are these beautiful grapevines that are thick and hanging above the benches. And it just feels like a very sacred space in nature. I got to lead the mindfulness practice with the kids. And we were talking about encountering God through our senses, getting to sit in silence with them, and then having them name different senses that they were encountering. The one that struck me the most was listening, because it was lightly raining, and it was also breezy in the morning, and I'm not normally up that early in the morning, so that was already a spiritual God sighting for me. But getting to hear the rain coming down on the canopy and the rustling of the grapevine leaves and hearing what the kids were also naming for that sense, I just felt God's presence with us in that, and a reminder of returning to that stillness and awareness to be fully in presence throughout our day, but especially in that morning moment.
Yeah, I loved that. And I loved it when you transitioned from that to our feeling, the sense of touch. Mm. A lot of the students were reflecting on like the bench and the leaves and the wind. Yeah. And then one of the students said, I feel the presence of the other people in this space.
Yes. I really liked that.
Mm-hmm. It was really lovely.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Charlotte, in the past, for talking to Christina. And thank you, Christina. Do you have anything to say, present Charlotte?
I just am gloriously happy to get to have had that time at camp, had that time with Casey and Christina, and we'll hear Casey's God sighting in another week. But also just for Christina's journey and getting to share ministry with her. Mm-hmm. Wonderful human being.
Amazing. We love Christina Miller. She's been a guest on the pod before, and now so excited to have her be a priest in the diocese, and great things for her in the future. So we wish her all the best and all the ordinance from this past weekend, Dawn and Heather, other friends of ours, also priests. So we're excited about what's happening in the Diocese of San Diego. And we would always love to hear from you as well. If you've got a God sighting, if you've got a thought, a question, a comment, a story from your week of faith discussion and reflection, you can always email us, faith2go@edsd.org. You can tag us or direct message us on Instagram @faith2go. And we would love to hear what's happening in your life of faith. So please share those with us. We are now going to move on. Got to move on to the gospel, the second half of the show. Again, it is proper 16 in year A for this upcoming Sunday, August 27th, 2023. The gospel is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Charlotte's going to read it, and then I'll have some context, and we'll each share a point. Take it away, Charlotte.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Oh.
Don't tell.
Don't tell anybody what I just told you about myself.
Ponder it in your heart.
That's right. First you have to ponder it before you can tell anyone. That's nice. All right, well, here we are. The last 2 weeks now, Jesus has been venturing out of his home region of Galilee, okay? So last week was Tyre and Sidon, correct? Proper 15, Jesus was in Tyre and Sidon and had an encounter with a Canaanite woman.
We
have talked about many a time before. This week, Jesus is going to a place called Caesarea Philippi, which is, again, in a region outside of Galilee. Tyre and Sidon are on the Mediterranean Sea coast, just kind of like west and north of the Sea of Galilee. And now he's moving back inland, directly east. So he's like directly north of the Sea of Galilee, up the opposite direction from Jerusalem. So it's interesting that Jesus is in this moment in the gospel, kind of going to these, going beyond kind of the area that has traditionally been, you know, Judea, the region of his people, you know. So he's kind of moving out into these Gentile territories, and then he's going to be moving back down to Galilee, latter half of Matthew chapter 16. And then he's actually going to start moving down to Jerusalem, you know, in like two more chapters after this. So this is like a transition point for Jesus. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in my point, but that's where we are. We're in the latter half of Matthew's gospel in chapter 16, and we're in these different regions that we've never been before. Jesus is venturing out beyond his home to other peoples, to other places. And that's where we are. So, Charlotte, take it away.
But first, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you remember, hearkening back?
Okay.
Do you remember?
The 21st night of September?
Such a good
song. Yes. Vividly.
No.
Okay.
Being in a classroom and having the teacher ask you a question and like 35 hands going up.
Yeah.
And people chiming in with all sorts of different answers to it. Mm-hmm. And then the teacher asking a follow-up question and nobody putting their hand up.
Yeah.
That's what this gospel feels like to me.
Yes.
Right? Like that's totally what it feels like to
back
me.
Back to school for the right. disciples.
Because like it feels like there in this first question that Jesus asks the disciples, because he's asking them about other people instead of about themselves, everybody's like, "Oh, I got an answer. Let me tell you, Jesus, Elijah, Jeremiah." Mm-hmm. Like you can just hear like the calling out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when he asks them to turn the reflection inward, and say, well, but who do you say I am? Mm-hmm. I just picture crickets, you know, not a single raised hand. It's not in the text. It's just, you know, as I reflect and think about all of it. And Peter, God bless Peter, courageously reveals, you know, that Jesus is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And I love it for many reasons. I love Peter's authenticity. Mm-hmm. His courage. Mm-hmm. I'm choosing the word courage instead of bravery because it feels like a space that at best is uncertain and possibly is fearful and not wanting to do it wrong.
Yeah.
And so like doing it anyway, saying like what is written on his heart aloud in front of other people feels courageous.
Yeah.
And is affirmed by Jesus. I'm so happy for Peter.
This is one of his better moments.
Yes, yeah. Right? Like, because we get the whole story here, but Peter's just living his life. And so, like, sometimes his willingness to say it doesn't result in being affirmed.
Right. It's not long until he's going to be Satan. It's like 5 verses or something.
Yes, and we know that, right? Yeah, so we carry that with us, knowing that there's more to this story than what we are getting right here. But in this moment, Peter's authenticity, his willingness to say what is written on his heart is a revelation for everybody else that is in the space and allows Jesus to have the rest of this conversation with all of them. And so I love it for Peter. And I'm wondering about its implications for us. Because it does feel like that it's much easier to talk about things that are happening outside of us, the way that other people walk in this world, the way that the things that other people say, and that then when the questions are turned on us, there is a hesitation to claim authentically our own faith. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I've many times heard people describe their own faith by saying, well, it's not like that, instead of saying what it is. Uh-huh. As I read the gospel this week, I really started thinking about that, about what it would be like to authentically live into our own faith in a way that isn't necessarily, I'm not asking everybody to go and get their own personal soapbox or megaphone or anything like that, but to live into the values and the teachings of Jesus that we encounter in Scripture in our everyday lives in such a way that helps people to understand what it means to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. To advocate for others, to watch out for those that are left behind, who have been marginalized and mistreated, to wrestle with questions that are hard, to admit when we have made mistakes, to flip our own tables, all of those things. If we are able to authentically live into our own Christian values in a way that helps others to see what it is like to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I love that invitation from Peter in this, and not just because he was affirmed. I find great joy in Peter's willingness to say whatever is on his heart, even when it's wrong, because there's opportunity in that for us too. Mm-hmm. But just really thinking about the fact that sometimes in those moments of when we feel like we've been asked a question and we're worried either about getting it wrong or how the world is going to receive what it is that we have to say. And so we're sitting there quietly keeping it to ourselves. what would it look like and what would it change, both in the world and within us, if we were willing to authentically say what was written on our hearts?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's also such an important thing that, like, what Jesus is saying is, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Like, you're not just regurgitating some stuff you heard that other people said you're supposed to believe. You're telling me what you have come to believe because of what you've experienced in me.
Yes.
And that is a courageous act, because you're sharing your own experience of God, of this other person. You're sharing what has been revealed to you from what has happened to you. That is courageous. And that for Jesus then to say, on this rock I will build my church. It's not on the rock of what other people are saying, what you're supposed to believe, what the dogma says, what the orthodoxy is. It's what you have experienced of God that you are then sharing with other people based on what you have known to be true. On that vulnerable act, that courageous act, I will build my church. You know, that is the solid foundation. To just regurgitate what other people have told you you're supposed to believe is not a solid foundation. Because as soon as you experience something different than that, the whole thing is going to crumble. That is just like a house of cards.
Well, and sometimes it needs to, right? Because, like, there are so many times in our lives where we have had something told to us repeatedly and that we have inwardly digested and come to perceive as part of our own lives, that it has to be shaken and fallen apart in order to get back into that authentic relationship with God and with each other.
Yeah.
And so I do. I think that it is courageous and it is solid when we think about, at our core, what is our relationship with Christ? What is it that we believe? It's not as though we don't have interactions in the world. Of course we do. Of course we do. And those interactions shape and change us every single day. And yet, at our core, who are we and what do we believe?
Yeah. And it is a vulnerable act to believe something because you've experienced it to be true rather than what someone else has told you you're supposed to believe. It's scary.
Yeah.
Scary. It's scary to venture beyond this kind of, like, very black and white, what feels like a very solidly structured belief system. But that really doesn't hold up in actual life, you know? And so now we have, like, entire generations of people who have been, like, told to believe these very specific black and white kind of fundamentalist, especially, like, really conservative Christian ideas. And then you actually experience life and other people, you know? And it doesn't hold up. As soon as you pull that bottom card out, it all falls down, and then you're left with nothing, you know,
because you never the opportunity to rebuild.
Well, hopefully,
hopefully.
And hopefully you, and then you rebuild something for yourself. But like, how many of those people are going to still be Christian after that? You know, like, how many people have just totally left because it all they know, all they've known about Christianity was this really weird structure of belief system without any sense of the capacity to wonder or to question as part of it, you know? So anyway, that's kind of tangential to the conversation, but
no, it's enriching to the conversation and that's why it is a conversation.
That's why it's just so important as we're, like, forming people and teaching and talking about our faith. Like, part of it has to be the mystery. There has to always, no matter what age we're talking, what age we're forming or teaching or talking to, or what age we are, if the foundation of it isn't vulnerability, courage, and being okay with the mystery and unknown, then the whole thing is going to fall down and there will be no foundation to build back up on, you know, and later in life. So,
and on that cheery note, I think that takes us
You said not everyone to get a soapbox, but I guess I had one for a moment.
For a moment.
Wasn't expecting to.
A faith to go.
Okay. All right, mine was the second one. And this is what it is. This is Pert Hapley reporting. It's kind of similar, actually, to what we've just been talking about. I'm thinking about this moment, and as I was saying in the context part, like, this moment in the gospel for Jesus, thinking about kind of like the larger context of this interaction that Jesus is having. Right after this, the gospel says in verse 21 of this very chapter says, and then Jesus started to tell them about how the Son of Man had to be, you know, how to suffer and die, how they were going to start to go to Jerusalem, you know. And then there's like a couple chapters where he does a lot more kind of like interacting with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are coming up from Jerusalem, you know, like big wigs. They're trying to test him. They're trying to catch him. They're trying to, it's like everything changes after this. Like before this, if you think about it, there really wasn't this huge like pushback to Jesus. It was a lot of like sending the disciples out, talking to people, preaching, teaching, healing. Not that there weren't any challenges, but like there's like this real shift happening because just before this, Jesus starts venturing out, you know, into Gentile lands, experiencing different people, experiencing people who his tradition has said are beyond, you know, the love of God, even maybe, you know, is experiencing people in these different places. And then in this Gentile place is having this conversation. And then probably on Mount Hermon, which is even further north from where they are now, is going to do the transfiguration, right? And then this other huge revelation happens. All this happening beyond like the bounds of Judea, you know? I think there's just so much shifting for Jesus right now in terms of his understanding of himself, how he's understanding his mission. Like everything shifts now towards Jerusalem after this, you know. In the way, this is kind of like the beginning of the end kind of thing. Like in a, it's not in this gospel, but in maybe it's Luke's gospel, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. You know, there's that moment where it's like, shoo, and he's like, there we go, we're going now, you know. This is kind of when that's happening. And so I'm just thinking about that and like what precipitates that change and like all these shifts in him. And like, I feel like we all have these times, like we were just talking about, where like we have these beliefs, we have these ideas about the world, about God, about ourselves, right? And then big things happen. Maybe it's like over an extended period of time, but things shift. We have experiences with different people that we've never experienced before. We have experiences of ourselves. We have time to reflect on them. And before we know it, we believe different things than we did 3 months ago, 1 year ago, 2 years ago. We're different people now, and different parts of ourselves are revealed to be true. And I think that like what Jesus is realizing now is like people know things about him that are so core to his identity that like now that they know them, he can't be in the world in the same way that he was before. And I feel like we all have that moment. We have many of those moments throughout our lives, right? Yeah. Where it's like we reveal something to be true about ourselves and then we are never really the same after that. But that's because we're slowly moving towards a journey of being the true self that God knows us to be, you know, throughout our whole lives. That like we have all these ideas of who we are, who we're supposed to be, and slowly over the course of our lives, hopefully those things kind of fall away and we just live into who we are at our core. And that's what Jesus is doing now. He's like, he's always been who he has been called to be with God. But I think there is just this process for Jesus over the course of his ministry where he becomes so clear about his purpose that it leads him to this radical thing of dying on the cross, you know? We're all on that same journey, I think, where like we see this transition point where someone so close to him tells him about himself, you know, reveals to him who he is, and he's never the same after that, you know? And so hopefully we all have those people in our lives that know us. It's so scary and so amazing to be known, you know, to be really known, to be seen.
Yes.
To be seen so much that another person can help you reveal something about yourself to yourself, you know? And Jesus has these amazing friends that sometimes he's frustrated with, and a lot of the time he loves, and hopefully he's laughing with them, and they're doing this incredible thing in the world. And those people help him see who he is over and over again. You know, they're his mirror to reflect back to him what he's doing, what people are saying about him. Jesus knows where this is going. People in authority start to get more frustrated and uncomfortable, and they start to push back at him, and he starts to go towards the epicenter of all that power in Jerusalem and stuff. He knows what he's doing, but there's like something about this moment of revelation, of self-revelation, where there is so much now in the gospel in this part that is about who Jesus is, you know? Mm-hmm. Not just what Jesus is doing, but like who he is and why and what that means. And we all have those times of inflection in our lives where we're like really, it's like a roller coaster kind of like we have these moments of like, what am I? Who am I? What am I doing? And then we do the thing, you know, and then it comes back to like that question again. We're always kind of like, it's kind of like a breath. It's like in, we breathe in and we're like kind of self-reflective and wondering who we are. We're moving closer to who we are and understanding who we are. And then that translates to practices out in the world and what we do and how we do things differently. And then the practices and the experiences that we have inform who we are again, you know. And it's not that linear, but it's like, I think that's happening all the time. We're seeing it happen in real life to Jesus, you know, in real time. And so we have this example of our whole life's journey of like self-reflection and revelation, and then moving to practice and changing what we're doing and letting it inform what we do and how we do it in the world, and getting clearer and clearer and clearer on what it is we are here to do and how we are called to do it. Mm-hmm. And then being with the people that we know will support us in doing that. Yeah. So,
well, and I love the reflection piece, because as you were talking, I was thinking about how important it is to have trusted people in our life that will reflect what they are hearing from us, what they are seeing from us, what they see within us.
Yeah.
And how important it is that we realize our role in doing that for others too. Yep, yep. And that oftentimes as people, it's comfortable to be one or the other of those. Like, you're comfortable either having people reflect to you, or you're comfortable being the person that offers it. Yep. But that part of being in relationship with other people and with God is being comfortable with both, or finding a way to sit in the discomfort mm-hmm. of it, yep. you know, of, yep. And sometimes that discomfort doesn't come from someone revealing something unappealing in you that they see. Sometimes yep. it can be hard to hear when someone hears something really beautiful mm-hmm. and authentic about mm-hmm. you that they mm-hmm. see. And so I love that moment that you're talking about, that transition moment of feeling as though you have been fully seen mm-hmm. and then going and doing the thing.
Yeah. Honestly, we're not really very good about having a clear, objective sense of ourselves. We really need other people to like relay back to us what we're thinking and feeling, and we need each other.
Yes.
Jesus needs these people. You know, mm-hmm. he needs these people to be able to do what he needs to do. Not just so that he can have some people to like regurgitate again these things that he's telling them about the world and stuff. That's all great. They need to learn. But he also needs them for himself. Like, he can't be him without them. Mm. And that's just true of being human. We got to find those people that can hold all these complicated things about who we are and like be in the messiness of it with us.
Yes. You know?
And we can be in it with them. Okay, so go find those people.
Or maybe you've already found those people yeah. and you need to thank
just
them
really
for being in your life.
Yes. Consolidate them. Send them a card.
Yes.
Or take them up on a mountain.
Or
a text. And tell them. Yeah, text is fine too. But mountains are cool.
Mountains are cool.
You know, there's a ski lodge on Mount Hermon now.
Oh.
Yeah, you can go there.
That's a ski. Thing.
Yeah. Maybe that's how they got up to the top, just on a ski lift. Mm. Yes. Jesus.
A very passive trip up the mountain.
I guess they wouldn't be very tired if they'd just taken a ski lift, you know? Probably.
Maybe they were tired by the idea of a ski lift on Mount Hermon.
Eventually being on Mount Hermon. That's probably it. Yeah. They're like, you know what? I hope there's never a ski lift up here. That would be so sad. Too late. Capitalism. That's our 2 points. Point number one was Charlotte's. And it was about Peter and the courage it takes to share your experience, to share what you believe to be true because of what you've known to be true in the world, because of how you've been changed by your experiences of life and of people, to be vulnerable and courageous. And that's what we're all called to do. And that's the solid foundation on which we can build our communities. Mine was number two. Thinking about this moment of transition for Jesus, those moments of transition in our lives when we're grappling with who we are and what we're called to do in the world and how we're called to do it, and making sure we're surrounding ourselves with peoples and communities that can reflect that back to us and help us in that wrestling. So having heard those 2 points, we'd love to know what your third point would have been this week if you'd been on the pod. We'd also love to know about your ministry context or any of your God sightings, consolations, or desolations. Any of your questions, comments, or stories from your week of faith discussion and reflection, you can always email us. You can find us on Instagram, and you can find links to get in touch with us in the description for this episode. We will be back next week to talk about Proper 17 in Year A for the first week of September. And please make sure to share the show and rate and review and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts on your phone or in your life. I guess you could listen on your desktop or laptop. Make sure you share it with people. You can just hit that share button. It's the little square with the arrow. You can send it to your friends and family. Have you know, conversations about it. That's what we're here for. So you can listen to it and talk about what you think. So share it with your people, rate and review. We will be back next week. Until then, we say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
La la da da da. Goodbye, everybody.
Take heart.
Take heart, everyone.